Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 10. Do men gather grapes from thorns? Matthew 7:16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? An immutable law of nature is that all life brings forth of its kind. Thus the question, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? The answer is, no, they do not. And Jesus implied, they cannot. This scripture is often misunderstood through misapplication. It does not instruct us how to discover true Christians, nor provide a touchstone for self-evaluation. Also, it is often erroneously tied to Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well-meaning teachers have led us through the evaluation of our Christian walk and made claims that the absence of this listed fruit in our lives is an indicator of not being converted or completely converted. Absence proves nothing. It is the presence of fruit that determines the family of the vine. Example, one walks through a garden and sees a vine with no fruit on it. Discounting the ability to identify by foliage, can one accurately say this is not a pumpkin vine because one sees no pumpkins? Of course not. It may be fully underway growing pumpkins at that very minute, but perhaps it's diseased or malnourished, or at that moment it's too young or hindered in some other way to bear fruit. The presence of a watermelon, however, proves it's not a pumpkin vine.
What are you looking for? Where is your faith? Why did you doubt? These are some of the most probing questions ever asked, but even more significant is who it is that asked them, Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to embark on a journey of discovery that will impact your life, listen to the questions that Jesus asked. Don?
The questions of Christ became a curiosity to me because of their depth and scope, but more so because of who asked them. Albeit some of the questions asked by Jesus Christ were rhetorical, that is, ask for effect, or ask more to provoke thought than to solicit an answer, some questions Christ posed were asked merely because he wanted an answer. For some, it makes them uneasy to think that Jesus did not know the answer in advance. We've been taught that Jesus knew everything, as if he were some sort of mind reader or telepathic. The scriptures do not support this idea. It is, therefore, only conjecture. Poor conjecture, in my opinion. When the scriptures state, Jesus knew their thoughts, Luke 6 and Matthew 12:25, they simply speak of perception. Jesus was infinitely wise and extraordinarily perceptive, and he knew mankind better than they knew themselves. As John states so perfectly, but Jesus knew all men, for he knew what was in man. Your answers to his questions will sometimes make you uncomfortable and lay your heart open to him in return. But to whom, save Christ, could you trust your candid answers and confessions? And before whom could you lay your condition in forthright display, in full assurance of acceptance? Who's able to open your life for examination in pure love and unfeigned truth as Jesus can? What a preacher he was! What a teacher! What a friend we have in him! As you hear his questions and consider your own answers, you are thrust into his time and he into yours. By quiet contemplation, words on a page become a live conversation. In meditation, ink and paper can become living words in your ears. It's then that the words of God become the Word of God. It's then that you'll experience more than the mere reading of history. You'll become a part of a verbal exchange, a part of the repartee and banter, even argument with our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll only answer his questions honestly and with sincerity, you may well peer into depths of your own soul and purpose, heretofore undiscovered and unknown. What a wonderful journey writing this was for me. It was always a joy to discover a new question and explore it. I am happy to share these devotionals with you. I would love to know that you receive them in the same richness of spirit that I did.
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. It's an investment that will encourage you to listen to Jesus. Now let's rejoin Don with more from The Questions of Jesus.
You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? The question remains, to whom does this scripture apply? In context, the Lord was warning us of false prophets. He says that we will know false prophets by their fruit. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus was telling those who would hear, these men are thorns, not vines. And if you find a grape on a thorn, it's because it was stuck there. It did not grow there. How it got stuck there is a matter for consideration. A false prophet is a deceiver. This is a person falsely speaking for God without authority. Or a person speaking falsely for God, saying things that aren't true. The difference is subtle but important. The latter speaks lies in the name of God. These are usually not a threat to biblically sound people. The words of a false prophet are weighed and found in error by way of the axiomatic truth that the Spirit of God will not contradict himself. Neither will the Spirit within us, nor will the Spirit who brought forth the Scriptures allow the lie to be believed. But the other is more deceptive. The person falsely speaking for God, however, may be saying very nice things, scriptural things, and things without the least contradiction. They're being said, however, without unction, without compulsion, without authority to speak. Through this kind of false prophet, we are led into creaturely activity, fleshly motivated good works. And this subsequently causes an erosion of active communion with God to take place. All that being said, we're warned to beware of the false prophets because they wear the clothing of a shepherd, sheep's clothing, and are inwardly starving and desperate wolves. Sometimes sheep's clothing is misunderstood to mean that these starving wolves dress up like sheep, but it is, more correctly, the clothing of a shepherd that they don in order to deceive. They don't try to look like sheep. They try to look like a shepherd, which is an office awarded to only one, our Christ Jesus. It is the intention of these wicked shepherds, not to feed, but to fleece and flay, and the first step toward that end is deception. A person intending to deceive must work first at appearances. With the warning that we will know them by their fruits, the deceiver must surround himself with fruit. This is why we may find grapes on thorns, but must realize they didn't grow there. There are many who tout their accomplishments not to gloat, but to deceive. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. From this verse, you must realize that any fruit born outside of Christ is corrupt fruit. This is not as easy to prove as it is to sense. If you're born of the incorruptible seed, you have within you the Holy Spirit, who will witness to this, and therefore you must maintain a clear conscience and a contrite heart in order to hear the slightest whisper of his warning. These issues of life from your heart are the only true defense against the false prophets. The endless parade of literature, books, movies, preachers, biblical translations, and close dear friends and family who mean well but are in error. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You must be vigilant and even suspicious to every twitch within you as you read, hear, and see things from all sources, accepting only that which the Lord reveals to you as true and worthy. The Scriptures, secondarily, are never to be compromised, as they are penned by men under the unction and authority of the Holy Spirit of God. It would never insult a true prophet for someone to doubt, then check, and wait for the confirmation from God on any revelation given them. Paul commended the Bereans for this. These were nobler than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17:11. It is only the false prophet that leads people away from Christ's witness within and the Scriptures' witness without. There are many fruits which are ascribed only to the children of God, and many which are found only on the withered and diseased branch of the false prophet. These fruits are well worth your attention and study. When you determine a man to be truthful and faithful by the fruit abounding around him, you must be careful that you're not ascribing fruit to his ministry that did not grow there. I have seen whole churches full of proselytes. A grape stuck to a thorn is not abiding in the vine. Although you may find a bramble bush loaded with grapes, Jesus wants you to know they did not grow there. You should ask yourself, do men gather grapes from thorns?
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God. And that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867. Or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.